Have you ever come in a little high on final, watched the runway sliding under the nose, and thought, well, this one's going around? Here's the thing. It didn't have to. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar, the show where we try to make you a little sharper and a little safer before your next flight. Today we're going to talk about a maneuver that scares more student pilots than almost anything else in the airplane, and it shouldn't. The forward slip. We're going to walk through this together. What it is, how it's different from the side slip, which is the one that trips people up on the check ride, when to use each. And the little mistakes that turn a beautiful stabilized approach into a scramble. Let me set the table first with a quick word from the folks who help keep this show on the air. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot? Instrument? Commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones you'll want to remember 20 years from now, AviationSoul.com. All right, let's get into it. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. A slip is not an emergency maneuver. It is not exotic. It is not dangerous when you understand it. It is one of the most useful tools in your bag, and the airplane was built to do it all day long. So what is a slip, really? In normal flight, we keep the airplane coordinated, the ball is centered, the nose is pointed where the airplane is actually going through the air. Rudder and aileron work together. You bank, you feed in a little rudder, the airplane turns cleanly, and the ball stays home. That's coordinated flight, and it's most of what you do. A slip is when we deliberately break that on purpose. We cross the controls. Aileron one way, rudder the other. The airplane is now flying slightly sideways through the air. And that is the whole point. When you present the side of the fuselage to the wind, you create drag. A lot of drag, and drag on final, is your friend when you're high. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and here's where the check ride points hide. There are two kinds of slips, and they look almost identical from inside the cockpit. The forward slip and the side slip, same controls, same cross-controlled feeling. Completely different purpose. Let's take them one at a time. The forward slip. This is the altitude killer. You use this when you're too high, and you need to come down without picking up speed. Picture it. You're on final. Maybe you turn base a hair too early. Maybe the wind quit on you, and now you're looking down at the numbers from way too high. You don't want to add power. You don't want to dive, because diving just trades that altitude for airspeed, and now you'll float halfway down the runway. So you slip. In a forward slip, you lower a wing with aileron and you hold the nose straight down the runway with opposite rudder. Your ground track stays the same. You are still going toward the runway, straight down the center line. But the airplane's long axis, the fuselage, is now cocked off at an angle to your path. You're flying a little sideways, and that big flat side of the airplane hanging out in the wind creates enormous drag. The result? You come down like an elevator. Steep descent, and the airspeed barely moves. It's honestly a beautiful thing to watch the first time it clicks. You go from I'm way too high to I'm right on it in about 10 seconds, and you never touch the throttle. The examiner is looking for a few specific things here. They want to see you pick a reference, hold your ground track down the center line, and control your airspeed. They want the airplane to go where you're pointing it, and they want you to take the slip out smoothly before the flare. So you touch down straight and coordinated. Now the side slip. This is the crosswind slip. The one you'll use on almost every windy landing for the rest of your flying life. Same cross controls, but the goal is completely different. In a crosswind, the wind is trying to push you off the side of the runway. So you lower the upwind wing into the wind just enough to stop the drift, and you hold the nose straight with opposite rudder so the airplane stays aligned with the center line. Here's the difference in one sentence. In a forward slip, your body, the fuselage, is turned, but your path stays straight. In a side slip, your path is corrected, but your fuselage stays pointed straight down the runway. One is about losing altitude. The other is about killing drift and keeping the nose aligned so you don't land sideways and side-load the gear. Let me say that again a different way, because this is exactly what gets fumbled on the oral. The controls are the same. Aileron and opposite rudder. What changes is what you're trying to accomplish and where the nose ends up pointing. Forward slip, nose is angled but you track straight to lose height. Side slip, nose is straight down the runway while the wind tries to blow you sideways. The examiner may hand you this on the ground. They'll say, Tell me the difference between a forward slip and a side slip. And a lot of good pilots, pilots who can fly both perfectly, freeze up because they've never had to put it into words. So put it into words now. Practice saying it out loud in the car on the way to the airport. The Airman Certification Standards expect you to know both, to explain both, and to fly them. Don't let the vocabulary beat you when the stick and rudder won't. Let's walk through actually flying a forward slip step by step, because the how matters. You're on final, you're high. First thing, reduce the power. Usually you're going to idle or close to it because if you're slipping, you've already decided you have too much energy, then pick your low wing. Most of the time, if there's any crosswind at all, you lower the wing into the wind, it just makes the recovery cleaner. Roll into the bank with aileron. As the wing drops and the nose wants to swing, feed an opposite rudder to hold your track straight down the runway. Now you've got the airplane cross-controlled. Wing down one way, rudder the other way, nose held straight down the center line of your path. Watch your airspeed. This is the big one. A slip can hide your airspeed because the relative wind is hitting the pitot tube at an angle, and in some airplanes, the airspeed indicator reads a little funny in a slip. So don't chase the needle. Set your pitch attitude with reference to the horizon and trust it. Hold the nose where it belongs and let the drag do the work. You'll see the descent rate pick up dramatically. When you've lost the altitude you needed to lose, take it out. Smoothly. Release the rudder, level the wings, and you're back to a normal coordinated approach, ready to flare. Simple as that. Now, the mistakes. This is a common mistakes segment, so let's talk about what goes wrong, because knowing the trap is half of avoiding it. Mistake number one, the airspeed creep. Students get into the slip, get busy with all that cross-control coordination, and they let the nose drop. Now they're slipping and diving at the same time, airspeed's climbing, and they've defeated the entire purpose. You wanted to lose altitude without gaining speed. Keep that nose up where it belongs. Pitch for attitude, not for the needle. Mistake number two, taking it out too late. If you carry that slip all the way into the flare, you're going to touch down cross-controlled, one wheel first, maybe with some side load, and it gets ugly fast. In a forward slip for altitude, get it out with enough time to stabilize and land normally. Now, in a crosswind side slip, that's different. You actually carry the wing low correction right through touchdown and land on the upwind main first. But that's the side slip doing its job. Know which one you're flying. Mistake number three, and this one is a real one. Flaps and slips. You'll hear old hangar talk about how you should never slip with full flaps. Here's the truth. Go read your airplane's flight manual. Some airplanes, and the Cessna 172 is the famous one, carry a note in the manual about slips with full flaps. In certain models, there can be a slight tail buffet or a pitch burble with the flaps fully extended in a hard slip. It's usually not dangerous, but it can be startling, and it's in there for a reason. So know what your specific airplane says. Don't fly on legend, fly on the flight manual. If your airplane has that note, respect it and know that a slip with partial flaps or no flaps is still very much on the table. Mistake number four, the fear itself. And I want to spend a second here because this is the one I see most. Students are scared of the slip because it feels wrong. Your whole training, you've been told keep the ball centered, coordinate, coordinate, coordinate. And now your instructor is telling you to deliberately cross the controls, and every instinct says this is how you spin. So, the student holds back, does a timid little half slip, and doesn't get the result, and decides slips don't work. Let me put your mind at ease. A slip is not a skid, and it is the skid that bites you. When you cross the controls in a slip, with the wing down and top rudder, the airplane is very docile. If it stalls, it tends to roll toward wings level, away from trouble. The dangerous cross control is the skidding turn, the classic base-to-final overshoot where a pilot uses bottom rudder to tighten the turn instead of banking. That's the one that drops a wing and spins you into the ground. A coordinated fear of that scenario is healthy, but don't let it scare you off the honest, stable forward slip. They are not the same animal. Learning to slip well actually makes you safer, because you understand what your feet and your hands are doing to the airplane. Let me give you a real scenario to tie it together. You're flying into a little non-towered field for a $100 hamburger. No control tower, so you're making your own calls, sequencing yourself. You turn base and there's a cub ahead of you moving slow, so you extend your downwind a touch to give him room. Now you turn final and, wouldn't you know it, you're high, really high. The engine's at idle, full flaps are already out, and you're still looking down at the runway like you're on a balcony. Old you goes around, burns 5 minutes, burns some gas, gets flustered, comes back and does it again. New you looks at the windsock, sees a light crosswind from the left, lowers the left wing, feeds in right rudder, holds the nose straight down the center line, and slips it. The airplane sinks, the runway comes up to meet you. About 200 feet, you smoothly take the slip out, level the wings, the airplane stabilized, you flare, and you grease it on. Your passenger has no idea anything unusual just happened. That's the maneuver. That's what it buys you. Options. Judgment. A way to save an approach that would otherwise be thrown away, and I'll be honest with you because that's the deal on this show. Learning this is not easy, and flying is not cheap. Every hour you spend drilling slips with your instructor costs real money, and I know that. But this is one of those skills that pays you back for the rest of your flying life. You will use a side slip on nearly every crosswind landing you ever make, and you will bless the forward slip on the day the engine's out and you're gliding to a field and you're high, and you have no throttle to bring you down. On that day, the slip is not a party trick. It's the tool that puts you in the field instead of through the fence at the far end. So learn it now. When the stakes are a cheeseburger, not a forced landing. One last practical tip before we wrap. Go practice slips up high first. Get with your instructor, climb up to a safe altitude, and just feel it. Roll into a slip, hold your heading with the rudder, watch the descent rate build, feel how the controls stay effective, take it out, do it again the other direction. Get comfortable with the sight picture and the feel before you ever try to grade yourself against a runway. By the time you bring it down to the pattern, it should feel like an old friend, not a leap of faith. The Airman Certification Standards, the Cessna and Piper Flight Manuals, and the FAA's own Airplane Flying Handbook all cover slips. And the Airplane Flying Handbook in particular lays out the forward slip and side slip side by side if you want to read it in the FAA's own words tonight. If you want more of these breakdowns, everything we do is at radiohangar.com. Go practice your slips this week up high with your instructor until crossing the controls feels like the most natural thing in the world. This is Pattern. Fly the airplane all the way to the tie down, and I'll see you back in the pattern next time.